This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, March 31st, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. I hope you all had a great weekend. Unfortunately, it is Monday, but the good news is it's going to be an exciting next few days for the Eagles as the NFL annual meetings kick off today in Palm Beach, Florida. We're going to get Nick Sirianni. We're going to get Howie Roseman. And yes, we're going to get Jeffrey Lurie. So a chance to hear from the backbone of this franchise's power structure. Lurie, Roseman, Sirianni, the three people that were probably most responsible for bringing the Eagles a Super Bowl last year, and the three people that will be most responsible for them trying to win it again next year. So in today's pod, I'm going to preview the next few days, what to expect, what to look out for, and give you guys some questions I really hope Nick, Howie, and Jeffrey give us answers to. I can tell you they're going to be asked because I'm going to be there and I'm going to try to ask all these questions. But I hope we get honest, good answers because I think they're really important questions and things that I'm genuinely curious. There's, you know, Spike's favorite word, curious. Genuinely curious about as to where they are at with it. So let's get started. First, let's talk about the NFL annual meeting. So I am here in Florida, in Palm Beach, ready for these things to go. So it does take place at the Breakers. They hold it every year, thus NFL annual meetings. Used to be known as the NFL owners meetings. Now it's the NFL annual meetings. And what it is every head coach, every GM, every owner come to the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. They have meetings. They talk about rule changes. So the tush push will be a big deal over the next few days. I think they have to get 24 of 32 votes for it to be banned. So you'll be hearing a lot about the tush push over the next few days. And we'll finally get an answer, at least for next season, as to whether or not it will be banned. But I'm sure if the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, we'll hear about it again next year. If they don't, my guess is you won't hear about it, considering it's only ever been an issue in the 2 years the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. But yes, over the next few days, we'll get more information about the tush push, and we will get a vote as to whether or not it is banned or whether they're allowed to do it next year. But that's like the general idea of why this happens. It's a meeting to talk about rule changes and get ready for next year. Like, that's the core of it. But much like the core of the combine is a draft event, the actual combine is much more about people talking, all the GMs being there, all those things. The NFL annual meetings is a little more casual. So on Monday night, they actually have a party that media is allowed to go to. So that'll be a fun Tuesday morning pod to talk to you guys about. But basically, in my experience of being there, you see a lot of like coaches wandering around with their families, hanging by the pool. You see GMs hanging out by like the hotel bar talking, owners meeting. The owners you don't really see because they're in a portion of the hotel that no one can really afford, and they just get in and out of like they're super nice cars. But in theory, they all hang out too. I think Larry sometimes brings the staff out for a meal at these things. So a lot of this, like the combine, these they're working like all day, and they are working here. This one's a little more laid back. I mean, it's in Florida, so you know it's going to be a little more laid back. So these next few days is about connecting for Nick with other coaches, Howie with GMs and all that. So this could be where, you know, trades are first born, the idea of trades start to happen. Agents will be there. Not a lot of agents, but, you know, I feel like I see Drew Rosenhaus there every year. So they'll be there trying to get their last remaining free agent signed. So similar to the combine, where it's an information gathering event, it's a networking event, and it's where, you know, moves start to be made. So that is what the next few days will look like. But from the Eagles' perspective, we will hear from Nick Sirianni on Tuesday. So a little backstory: how they used to do this was they would do it was like a breakfast. Like the idea was like you have breakfast with the coach, and it's supposed to be like a casual thing. Now, for years, they did do this. With the Eagles beat, it's never casual because you look around to other tables and it'll be like, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers have like three writers there. Or you look over to the Carolina Panthers and it's the coach and like four writers. So they actually do have like a casual breakfast. And it used to be an hour long. Now, it's completely changed from that. They still do it at breakfast time, but there's always so many Eagles reporters there, and it's only a half hour now instead of an hour. So it's essentially just a press conference. Like, that's what it's turned into. But the other thing that sucks about it, like, you know, I know this is like a first world problem, but on Monday night, they have the big party where, like, it's, you know, a party I could certainly never afford to go to if I wasn't invited with my media pass. But like, all the coaches, all the, like, everyone hangs out. It's a late night. And then I think Nick's going to talk at like 7:30 in the morning on Tuesday. So I feel bad for Nick. He always gets screwed in that regard because it feels like the NFC is always the day after the party and the AFC coaches get to go on Monday morning. So that's kind of the setup. So by the time you're listening to this, you will have the AFC coaches will have probably already talked, and Nick will talk on Tuesday. Now, we don't know yet when Howie Roseman or Jeffrey Lurie will talk. My guess will be Jeffrey Lurie will be Tuesday afternoon. The other thing is they always advertise these NFL annual meetings as Monday to Wednesday. They literally always end on Tuesday. Like, they always just ended on Tuesday. So my guess is we get Jeffrey Lurie sometime on Tuesday, Howie sometime on Monday. So it'll probably go Howie, Nick, Jeffrey, if I had to guess for the order of how when we'll hear from them. So when we hear from them, what do we want to know and what do we want them to talk about? I'm going to give you guys a few questions I think are important for each of these important Eagles figures to answer. So let's start with Nick Sirianni. I am floored that at the combine, and I hand up for me for this too, that his extension was not a bigger topic. Now, who knows? Maybe by the time he talks on Tuesday, maybe later today, an extension's announced. But I wanted more questions to Nick of like, what's up with the extension? You know, like, you just won the Super Bowl. I know you're probably going to say there's no rush, but like, you know, what are some things you're looking for in the contract extension? Do you want it to happen now? Are you okay waiting? Like, how would you feel if you didn't get a contract extension? Like, is there a certain amount of years you want? Like, I want to hear Nick talk about the contract extension and where he's at with it. Because while I assume it is going to get done, it likely just will get done. I mean, Doug Peterson's extension wasn't announced until August after he won the Super Bowl. I think more questions to Nick about the extension and getting him on the record talking about it, I think is important. So Nick Sirianni, I think the number one question for him is the contract extension. The second question I want to hear Nick talk about is the right guard spot now that Mekhi Becton's gone. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's a Jeff Stoutland thing. But Nick's the head coach, and this is our first time talking to someone from the coaching staff since Mekhi Becton left. And if you look on the offensive side of the ball, like, he's really the only starter that's going to be gone. I know we'll talk about Dallas Goedert, but like, what's his view there? Like, how does he feel about Tyler Steen? What did he like about Kenyon Green to bring him in and, you know, potentially have him be the starter next year? Is he worried about having a question mark at right guard? Like, and I know we'll get a lot of it's early, But how does he feel about Tyler Steen and Kenyon Green? Like, I'm sure if it was up to Nick, Becton would be back, right? So I think, you know, Becton's gone because of money, not because they didn't like him. So curious to see what he has to say about Mekhi Becton leaving and about the right guard spot. So the other one is Dallas Goedert. And this is a Howie question too. But, you know, I think Nick's a Goedert guy. Like, I think Nick is a fan of Goedert, the person, a fan of Goedert, the player. And Goddard's under extension, under contract next year. So is Nick expecting him to be back on the team? Has Nick talked to Dallas Goedert about, like, everything that's going on? And how hard will he push for Dallas Goedert to be back on the team? So I do think some Dallas Goedert questions should be coming Nick Sirianni's way. And then finally, if I could have Nick answer one question under True Serum, it would be, is Jalen Hurts going to throw the ball more next season? And I know when we ask it what he'll say. Hey, we're going to do what it takes to win. Jalen throws the ball great. Saquon's different. I'm not worried about his touches next year. It's something we'll always monitor. But so we know what he's going to say. If I could get an honest answer out of him, I would love to know if they plan to give Jalen the ball more next year, because we've all seen the stats about running backs when they touch it 400 plus times the next year. It's not good. A lot of them fall off. Jalen probably had his best two games throwing the ball the final two games of the season. And frankly, if you go back to the regular season, like, he threw it awesome against the Rams, looked good against Washington before he came out. The two playoff games, I thought he actually threw it well against Green Bay. They just didn't throw it much. And then it's in the snow in LA. But, like, he ended the season throwing the ball pretty well. So do they feel Jalen's going to throw it more next year? Are they going to be near the bottom of the league again in passing attempts? So excited to see what Nick has to say about that. So I think those are the main Nick questions. If there's something else you want Nick asked, you know, email me or tweet me or try to get to me before tomorrow morning. But those are the main questions I'm interested in hearing Nick Sirianni answer. All right. On the other side, we are going to get into Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, what I hope to hear from them at the NFL annual meetings. But first, a word from our
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsors. Okay, so Howie Roseman, we already talked to him since the season ended. We talked to him at the Combine. And look, he said to be patient at the Combine. And the patience for the first few days of free agency certainly felt like it was wearing thin. But they've since added a bunch of free agents. But there's a lot for Howie to answer to and a lot to ask Howie. So what are some of the main questions I want to ask Howie? First is the Saquon Barkley contract extension. It's so out of character for them to do stuff like this and just to hand out essentially a thank you contract. I'm just curious to hear how Howie feels about that and if there is worry that he's setting a precedent redoing a free agents deal 1 year after giving it to him, because they wouldn't do it for Hassan Reddick. I think CJGJ is gone for something like that. So we'll talk about CJGJ in a minute. But the Saquon Barkley extension, is he afraid of setting a precedent there? And what made him do it, considering it was only 1 year in? Now, side note, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions to Howie, like, you've never paid a linebacker before. Why'd you do it now? You've never paid a running back before. Why'd you do it now? And he's just going to be like, it's not about the position, it's about the player. So he'll get asked that, but I feel like it's kind of a wasted question because we know what he's going to say. All right. The other question I want asked, and I think no one in the world cares about this question more than I do, is he worried about the combination of a one-year deal factory, which is kind of what they've become, one-year deal, prove-it player guys, and not doing in-season extensions? Like, I mean, you've heard me talk about this on Blue in the Face. Their ability to get deals done when you're doing a one-year 1 year contract and then not doing season extension, you're going to consistently pay top dollar for a player. Like Azeez Ojulari, the whole benefit of getting him on a 1 year prove it deal is if he's awesome, that like you then keep him at a cheaper rate. So if you give him a 2 year deal, you avoid that. If you sign him in week four instead of the following off season, you get him at a cheaper rate. So I'm curious to hear Howie's perspective on the 1 year deal combined with the no in-season extension. Next up, and this is probably the question most fans are going to care about, why in the world did they trade Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? Now, I'm okay with the trade. I thought it was a fine one, but I think of all the moves made this offseason, the one that bothered the fans the most is the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson trade. So why was he traded? Was it the player? Was it the contract? Was it like something off the field? Like, why did they move on from Chauncey? So I normally think I have a pretty good read on what Howie's going to say to questions, but the why he traded Chauncey one, I don't have a great read on that. I'll be curious to see what his answer is. So looking forward to see what Howie says about why Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was traded. And then finally, I think this is an important question for Howie. Just like, do they have room to make more moves? Like, I think I have a pretty good read on their cap space, and I believe they have around $18 million or so, somewhere around there. But like, do they have it in them to make another trade? Or are they kind of, at this point, there's the draft, there's, you know, moves you get at a discount? Or like, is this kind of the roster that they should expect to play with in 2025? So I know this is not a question he will answer like completely honestly, and I don't blame him. But I'll just be curious to see if, when asked that, he says, yeah, you know, like, we got, you know, like we have a lot of great players on our roster and this is probably it. Or no, we have enough flexibility if we want to do something big. So curious to see what Howie has to say about that. And finally, the main event of the next few days, really the most important person, obviously with the organization, but a chance to rarely get to hear from him, Jeffrey Lurie. So Jeffrey Lurie normally talks for like an hour at these things. It's normally right before the meetings end. And he gives kind of a state of the union to start. And then I think he gives really like long, thoughtful answers. And some of the most important Jeffrey Lurie quotes have come from these pressers. So what do I want to ask Jeffrey Lurie? I think to start, it's the Nick Sirianni extension. Like, is it going to happen? Is this a negotiation still going on? Like, just his take on the Nick Sirianni thing. Does he say something as simple as Nick's not going anywhere anytime soon? Is he okay with Nick going into the final year of his deal, or would he like to get an extension done? Like, just hearing how clear and committed he is to Nick, I think is important. You know, I would be really surprised if he said anything other than, yes, it'll get done. He's our coach for the foreseeable future. But, you know, does he like kind of go, well, hey, he's got a year left. Like, I'll just be, you know, what's he going to say to that? So the Nick Sirianni contract extension, I think, is probably the top question Jeffrey Lurie will get after how's it feel to win the Super Bowl, because they did win the Super Bowl. Next up, and I think this is really kind of the only person of the three that I think can like really answer this. I think Nick might get asked it, but going to the White House. What went into the decision? You guys didn't go in 2018 when you won the 2017 Super Bowl. Why go this year? Did he talk to the players? Did he talk to the coaches? Did he take into consideration how fans might feel about it? Just like how does he feel about going to the White House? And what went into the decision to do it? Because I think as with everything that involves politics right now, that's certainly something where I'm sure there is a large portion of the fan base that likes it, a large portion of the fan base that doesn't. So just curious how Jeffrey feels about that and how he came across making that decision. All right, the next one, and I think this is a Howie question, but I think Jeffrey too, the cash flow. Like we've heard, right, that the reason maybe that they're not like going out and making all these big deals and letting guys walk is because they have a lot of big contracts coming up. Now, Jeffrey Lurie has spent more money than any other owner over the past, I think, 6 years. So nobody will ever confuse Jeffrey Lurie with being cheap. He spends every dollar it takes to win, and they win a lot because of it. But this felt like the first offseason where it's been a little like, hey, like we don't print money at the NovaCare. So hearing Jeffrey talk about the cash flow question, what he has to say, very, very interested in his response to that. Next up is the inexperienced coordinators. So, well, obviously not Fangio, but the inexperienced coordinator with Kevin Petullo. So the last time they went with an inexperienced offensive coordinator, it did not go well. And I know, you know, Nick and Howie probably have more to do with the hires than Jeffrey does, although Jeffrey's obviously very involved in them. I want to know how he feels about having an inexperienced coordinator when in 2022 they went to the Super Bowl, went with an inexperienced coordinator, it didn't work out. 2017, they win the Super Bowl, went with an inexperienced coordinator, it didn't work out. And I know the situations are different, but just seems like potentially creating the same mistake that they've done before. So what does Jeffrey feel about the inexperienced coordinators? And then finally, what did he learn from 2017? Like, he's been here. He's won a Super Bowl. This is not his first rodeo. The Eagles fans, you can now celebrate having two Super Bowls. But as a result, like, what did he learn from 2017 in terms of how 2018, 19, and 20, they like got worse and worse and worse? And what did he do? What did he learn from winning? And what did he learn about how like mistakes he made that are tough when to try to get back? And just to hear his perspective on how the experience having won the Super Bowl already helps him this time around and what he's learned, I think would be really interesting to hear from Jeffrey. So it's going to be an exciting next few days. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of quotes or audio pieces in the daily pod. So I'm excited. Whenever the Eagles are exciting and things are happening, I'm excited. We all get to talk about it more. It's a fun time. So thank you so much for listening. I look forward to these next few days with you guys. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.